Where do the Celtics stand if they're trying to make a move? A roster reset and Gordon Hayward's options here on this Wednesday Locked On Celtics. Milt, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Woo! This the truth like 34. Yeah. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. Hey there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I'm their Boston Celtics beat reporter coming to you on this Wednesday. Thank you for downloading the show. A new listener, hey, welcome aboard. You regular listeners, welcome back. Still going daily Monday through Friday. If you're new, this is a Monday through Friday podcast. Going daily even through the offseason to get you set up for the offseason. And now as we're looking forward, we need to fully assess what's the Celtics situation? What do they have? What can they move? What do they have for options? I will tell you right off the front, right up front, it's not a ton. It's not a ton. This is, my expectation is a lot of this team is going to come back. And I've said it before, Brad Stevens for the first time has this opportunity to kind of run it back with this team. A team that went to the conference finals, obviously very disappointing, but a team that did go to the conference finals. So you look at what the Celtics have, who they have, and a lot of their improvement is hopefully going to come from within because that's basically the team that's coming back. So let's start. First segment here, a quick reset of the roster options and so forth. Segments two and three, Gordon Hayward's contract. Segment two will be him opting in or opting out to leave. And segment three will be the opt-in and re-sign long-term option. We're going to look at the what could happen, what the options are. I know a lot of people are down on Gordon Hayward. I tweeted out a picture of him with his son. And I'll be honest with you, a bunch of jerks just retweeting and just taking the opportunity. It's a nice moment, him and his son. And they're all like asking for him to leave and be traded and all that stuff. Eh, come on, just take a, chill out. It's ridiculous. The guy's been good, all right? The guy came back 2 weeks early from an ankle injury and then tried to play for a team that said that basically you see people saying, hey, I'll take 75% of Gordon Hayward is better than what we have. And it was, but still not enough. Some people just aren't happy. They're just not happy. Anyway, that's more later. So let's start with what the Celtics have in this first segment. It's very important to note that the presumed salary cap and tax line has not been set. We do not know what the salary cap is going to be for next season. We do not even know when next season is going to start. But the overwhelming assumption is that the league and the Players Association is going to find a way to keep this artificially at level at $109 million. Now, the salary cap was supposed to rise to $116 million for the 2020-21 season, an increase of about $7 million. But obviously, the league's lost money. Now, the league could drop it to the actual split of the revenue, which would be much, much less than $109 million. But for now, and I'll explain more later, but for now, let's just work with, it's widely assumed that the league is going to stay at $109 million for its salary cap. The Celtics have 9 guaranteed contracts for this upcoming season. So Kemba Walker at $34.3 million, Marcus Smart at $13.4 million, Jason Tatum at just about $9.9 million, Jaylen Brown starts his new extension at $23.9 million, Romeo Langford is at $3.6 million, Vincent Poirier is at $2.6 million, Grant Williams is just about $2.5 million, Robert Williams over $2 million, Carson Edwards at about $1.5 million. All of those contracts are guaranteed next year. So if you say, cut Carson Edwards, well, he's got guaranteed money, and that money's going to stay on the cap somehow. So there is the ability to waive and stretch, use the stretch provision. So Carson Edwards, for example, has 2 years left on his deal. So if you cut Carson Edwards, you can total up the 2 years that he has left. So he has just about 1.8 on his next year. And you can say the stretch provision is double the amount of years left plus 1 year. So if you cut him, then just cut him, then they would have dead money of 1.5 and 1.782 million on the cap for next year and the year after. If you use the stretch provision, you total that up, you split it up over twice the remaining years plus one, so it would be 5 years you could stretch that out, and that would be a cap hit of $660,000 just about per year for 5 years. So the advantage is you'll lower that cap hit. The disadvantage is you've got dead money in your cap for 5 years. So just keep that in mind. If you say, oh, cut this guy, it's that money stays. You don't save money by cutting a guy. So those are the guaranteed contracts. There are two players with player options, Gordon Hayward at 34.2, Enes Kanter at $5 million. One team option, Semi Ojeleye at $1.7 million. Two non-guaranteed contracts, Daniel Tice at $5 million, Javonte Green at $1.5 million, and one restricted free agent, Brad Wanamaker. The Celtics, if you don't know how the restricted free agency works, Brad Wanamaker that has a $1.8 million qualifying offer. The Celtics can make him that qualifying offer. He can refuse it, but by making him the qualifying offer, that makes him a restricted free agent. Restricted free agency is the ability to go out, get your offers from other teams, and the Celtics have the right to match that. He could play for the qualifying offer, which would be 1 year at that money, $1.8 million, and then be an unrestricted free agent, or they can negotiate a new deal and he can stick around. I don't know how the Celtics are going to approach that. They like Brad Wanamaker. He fills a role, especially during the course of the season. There is a deadline for the qualifying offer. I think that's October 17th, as far as we know right now, but those deadlines changed. And so that's still a few weeks away. We don't know what the Celtics are going to do with him. We don't know what Enes Kanter is going to do with his player option. $5 million, it's not a ton of money, but there's not a lot of money being spent on centers out there, especially with Enes Kanter and his limitations. I don't think he's going to get much more than $5 million on the open market. I'm sure he can try it out and see, but he's got a couple of weeks to probe, have his agent kind of float out some stuff through back channels and say, hey, would you be interested in Enes Kanter? Much like Al Horford did, and you know, trying to see if anybody out there wants him. I would be surprised if anybody out there is going to pay him more. I think Enes Kanter has liked playing in Boston. He's appreciated, I think, that the Celtics use him and how they've talked to him about not using him in certain situations. They've certainly tried their best to use him at his strengths. So maybe he just opts in and says, hey, let's run it back. This is a good chance to win a championship. I don't know how many other teams are going to be looking for an Enes Kanter. I don't know what the read on the market is. But I would be surprised if there is a lot of Enes Kanter contract offers coming. So I will assume that they're going to guarantee Daniel Tice, because Daniel Tice at $5 million is a bargain. Javonte Green, I feel like he has shown a ton of promise that they probably will want to guarantee him, right? Get a closer look. They have a deadline. Actually, I don't know what the deadline is on him, but it's going to be somewhere in mid-October. Daniel Tice is fully guaranteed, I think, October 21st. Again, these dates are fluid, as far as I know right now, but I think Javonte's date to be guaranteed is somewhere in there. So throughout the course of October, we're going to start hearing about players picking up their options and these deadlines and stuff. So just keep that in mind, that in mid-October, somewhere around October 15th, we're going to start hearing by then what these players are going to decide to do. So the team option on Semi Ojeleye, that's an interesting thing. I don't know what they're going to do. So, I mean, with the 9 guaranteed contracts, the 2 player options, that's 11. Then Daniel Tice is 12. Javonte Green is 13. You got 2 more roster spots. What are you going to do? Are you going to give them to Shemi and to Brad Wanamaker and bring back the exact same team? I don't know, because they've got 3 draft picks. So, and the draft is not until mid-November. So I don't know that the Celtics are going to guarantee, you know, Javonte or Wanamaker or Ojale. They could say, hey, look, the timing is kind of weird. We kind of want you back, but we need to see what's going to happen with the draft and so on. They could say, we're going to decline the team option. We're going to decline your guarantee. We're not going to make you the qualifying offer, and say, but you're unrestricted, but we still want to have you kind of stick around, but we need to do this other business and make sure that we've got the spots. Maybe that'll turn some guys off. I don't know. But those are certainly places around the periphery that they can tinker. I mean, if you lose Ojale, Javonte, and Brad Wanamaker, you can find replacements for those guys. Continuity, sure, you could use that. But obviously the Celtics are trying to upgrade in certain spots. And while we hope that guys like Grant and Romeo and Rob can come in and improve and be healthy and provide some of the bench depth that wasn't there this year, but at the same time, you probably kind of want to go out there and use what they have as far as exceptions, which are the Celtics have the mid-level exception that they can use. They would have, if they play it safe, I would expect them to use the taxpayer mid-level, which is about $6 million, 5.7 or so. Somewhere in that range, I think that's the number we should look at. There's a non-taxpayer mid-level that's about 9.3. I don't think that they're going to get to use that. But unless Gordon Hayward kind of comes through, I'll talk about Gordon in a second. But this $5.7 million, I don't know what they're going to be able to do with $5.7 million. Who's out there for $5.7 million? You know, that's, I think we have to hope that Robert Williams can be a guy that comes through for the Celtics and that Romeo Langford can be healthy. Although we do know that the recovery from his wrist surgery is going to be extensive and it's going to bleed into next season. So who knows? And it's a shooting wrist. So obviously he's not going to have any opportunity to get shots up over the course of his rehab before next season. So that's going to be a detriment. So I don't know how much we can count on Romeo for that. I mean, that's not great. So as far as next year goes, that's basically the setup. So I think the summary here is the Celtics have a lot of players coming back. They can have 2 or 3 guys around the end of the bench that, while I'm sure they like those guys, are willing to part with if they can turn around and draft somebody. If they can make a draft night deal, that's always a possibility. If they want to try and trade up, that could help. And I'll talk about this stuff in other podcasts too, but this is more overview. They can try to trade up. They can try to package those picks and trade up and maybe get a better player for their bench. They can try to make a trade with some of these guys, but I don't know if they want to how much they want to move some of these guys. I'm sure Carson Edwards is a candidate to be moved to create either cap space or whatever. I don't know. I think Vincent Poirier is a guy that can be moved or stretched. I don't know. He did not have he didn't do anything really this year. Didn't show much about being an NBA player this year. So if they can, maybe they can try and trade him to somebody who might want to use him, or you pay somebody to take his salary with a draft pick and he can go somewhere and someone else can buy him out. You can trade him to a team that has cap space and you can send the cash to buy him out. And that team with cap space doesn't care if he's got dead money. You send him out there, you trade him, they agree to a buyout number, he gets money, he leaves, it's over, and they're, you know, whatever. They don't care because they've got cap space. That's a possibility too. So they can open up roster spots that way. But in general, all you need to know is most of this team is coming back. And it's just about around the edges, how can this team add to the bench? Again, this is a discussion that we're going to carry throughout the postseason, but just so you know the situation when we're having these discussions, so you know not to expect big changes, not to expect a big free agent signing because the Celtics won't have money to spend. And in terms of trades, they don't have a lot to trade as far as players. Now, we could talk about at some point the benefits if there are more blockbustery type stuff out there, but that's not, I'm not expecting that. You never expect a blockbuster. This team is mostly coming back, and that's all you need to know. Up next, Gordon Hayward, opting in, opting out. What are his options? What makes sense? I'll tell you what makes sense. Using DoorDash to get food delivered right to your door, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're looking for, however busy you are, DoorDash can help you out. There's something for everyone on DoorDash. You can support the local restaurants in your community safely. It brings you the food that you're craving right now, right to your door. And with new contactless delivery drop-off, you can get it just left safely outside so you don't have to have any interaction, and you can make sure that you're safe in these COVID times while still supporting these local businesses that are working hard and trying to pay salaries and trying to do some good in the community. Or you could also, if you so choose, go to one of their national restaurants. They've got over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia. So if you want Chipotle, you want Wendy's, you want Cheesecake Factory, no problem. You can do that as well. Right now, Locked On Celtics listeners can get $5 off, zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. The biggest question of the offseason, Gordon Hayward's player option. He has a $34.2 million player option for this upcoming season, and a couple weeks to decide if he's going to take it. So in this segment, let's look at him just opting in or opting out to get the hell out of here. Let's start with the opting out part just for the sake of it. I do not believe that he opts out to leave. I don't think there is a Philly situation out there for him. I'm looking potentially at maybe the Atlanta Hawks. Would the Atlanta Hawks maybe turn to Gordon Hayward and say, if he is going to be tempted, and say, hey, look, we've got a young team, a good set of talent. You're going to have another high draft pick. Maybe they use that draft pick. Maybe they trade that away for another player. If they can swing a trade for another good player, they can say, hey, look, we can make some real noise. You, Trae Young, this player that we drafted, these guys that we have, some good talent here. We need a veteran. We need a stabilizing force. We can give you long-term security and an overall four-year deal that will compensate you very, very well. That's possible. I don't think the Knicks are going to do that. I'm looking at teams with cap space: Detroit, Miami, Charlotte, Phoenix. I don't think Charlotte, Phoenix are going to be options because they're not going to be able to. I don't think Hayward wants to go to those cities. Charlotte has no chance. You're going to Charlotte. Hayward's not making a difference in Charlotte. He's not making a difference in Phoenix. Miami has money to spend, but they're not going to spend long term. They want to clear cap space. They want to make sure their cap space is open for 2021. So That isn't an option. Detroit is a bad option. Who wants to go play for the Pistons right now? The Knicks are a bad option. They're a mess. The Atlanta Hawks could be tempting. But again, you know, this is a team that missed the playoffs. This is a team that is still well away from contending. Now, unless they go out and say, we've got this other star and you and Trey, we're going to make some real noise. I don't think that that's a tempting offer either. So, and again, Atlanta might be in the same boat by saying, look, this is the opportunity for us to get a second star. And then in the year after we get a third star. I mean, maybe that's a way they could do it, but is Gordon Hayward attracting a free agent to Atlanta? I don't know. I don't think so. So I don't think opting out to leave is an option for him. Opting in is certainly an option for him because it's $34.2 million. And no one is giving him that money. It's a ridiculous amount of money for anybody to make. And so to turn that down would take a special circumstance. Now, I will make the argument in the next segment for that special circumstance. But Gordon Hayward could say, look, I'm going to bet on myself. He is going to turn 31 in March. Still young enough to have a good season. He can say, okay, yeah, injuries, but what are the injuries? What have they been? A bad luck landing on somebody's foot in Cleveland. I broke my foot. Bad luck broke my hand on, when someone set a pick and I just hit it wrong. Bad luck when I landed on someone's foot in the playoffs and suffered a grade 3 sprain. It's not a chronic knee issue. It's not a chronic back issue. He could say, I've had bad luck, but at some point you hope that that bad luck goes away. I'm going to bet on myself, say this $34 million is going to be, I'll take that. And then over the next 4 years, I feel like I can make a fair amount of money. And he could play at an all-star level. If he can get up to that point. Now remember, before December, before that broken hand, there were some rumblings about like, hey, Gordon Hayward he was averaging just about 20 points. I know people are down on Hayward because he came back and he couldn't save the Celtics against the Miami Heat. But prior to that, he was playing awesome in the bubble. Prior to his broken hand, he was playing awesome for the Celtics at the start of the season. There were some grumblings like, hey, maybe Hayward can be one of three Celtics All-Stars that they have. Hell, the way they were going, you might have made an argument that they could get four. I mean, obviously they weren't, but there were guys who were worthy of that discussion. And Hayward was one of them. So he could say, look, I can come back and do that again. And if I could do that for a whole season, getting a four-year deal from somebody else, if it's not from the Celtics, that pays me somewhere in the, $80 to $100 million range, I think I can do that. It's a hell of a bet on yourself because the other option is you don't play well, you don't play quite as well, and you get hurt again. And you have to look at what your role is on this team. What are the odds that you're going to have the type of season that's going to get you paid like that by the time the season is over, 32-year-old or almost 32-year-old? But opting in certainly makes sense. You take the $34.2 million. You say, I'm going to roll the dice. I'm going to make plenty of money moving forward because I'm a good basketball player. So a lot of people expect him to opt in. I'm not so sure. I'm not 100% sold on that. I think there are a lot of reasons why he should opt out and re-sign long-term. I think there's a compelling argument to make. I'm going to make it next. I think there's a compelling reason to buy Built Bar, which I've been doing with my own money. I've gotten a couple of shipments with my own money. I'm going to get another one with my own money because it's a delicious protein bar that doesn't ruin your workouts. It doesn't hurt your diet. 18 amazing flavors. If you've got a nut allergy, there are plenty of options with no nuts. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, they taste like a chocolate bar, but they're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. If you're health conscious, looking to lose or maintain weight, it's perfect. The peanut butter ones that I have, 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 net carbs. So when I hit the treadmill, I'm not burning all of those calories for nothing, just so I can eat all of those calories with a big, bulky protein bar. And those 19 grams of protein really help after I'm done lifting weights. They're going to feed my body what I need. So go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get $10 off your next order. Even if you've used that promo code before, use it again. The promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. So before the break, I laid out basically a very simple scenario for Gordon Hayward. It's $34 million on the table. You opt in, you take it. And the argument is, it's $34 million. You take the $34 million when it's there. But as I said, let's look at Gordon Hayward's situation. He's going to be 31. And he's playing on a team where he's basically the third or fourth option. And the way he plays, very unselfish, but he's not going to put up a ton of those counting numbers. So when teams look at his stats and you say, look, Gordon, it's been great. You've been great, but we're not going to pay you as a number one guy because you're not a number one guy anymore. When you're signing a guy at 32, you're signing him for the next 4 years, you're taking him into like almost 36, that is essentially the end of his career. Okay? I don't know how long he's going to play. Is he going to find a way to extend his career into 38, 39, and 40? I mean, he could, maybe. I'm not ruling it out, but for all intents and purposes, we're looking at 35 or 36 as potentially the end of his career, because that's when most careers are over. So teams aren't going to want to pay that guy that much money. So where is the competing offer going to come from? What is he going to do for other teams? Where is he going to, where's that money coming from? Where if he takes the $34 million, what's he going to make in years 2, 3, 4 or 1, 2, 3, 4 after that? He gets a 4-year deal from somebody. How much money is he going to make in those 4 years? What's his agent going to tell him? Because to make... Let me lay out a number here. Opt out, re-sign for 5 years with the Celtics, starting salary at $17.5 million. That's a $101.5 million contract for 5 years, which is a big number. You're paying him over $20 million for 3 of those years. However, by the time those years roll around, the salary cap will be bouncing back. And a $20 million a year guy at that point is going to be a, you know, not mid-level guy. That's above mid-level guy. So here's the question. I'm just using numbers here. I'm not saying that that's going to be the number. But if he opts in for $34 million, is he going to be able to sign a 4-year deal worth $66 million? To do that, he's going to have to make $15 million or so in his first year. So a 4-year deal... Actually, no. It's going to be more because the Celtics can give him 5% raises, 8% raises, and he's going to get 5% raises from somebody else. So that to get $16 million, let's see. I'm doing the math as I'm doing this. Don't worry, I've got a computer doing the math for me. So yeah, okay. At about $15 million or so as a starting salary, he can get 4 years, $65, $66 million or so. Somewhere in that $15 million range. So if he thinks he can count on a team giving him 4 years and that much money, then sure, he can do that. But that's next year. That's the summer of 21. That's when all of the free agents are, you know, Giannis, Kawhi, Paul George, all of those big free agents are out there. The money is going to get thrown around for those guys. Is there going to be any money left for him? Or is he going to be forced to take mid-level money or less money because the cap space is getting all eaten up? Or is he going to risk having the only teams left with cap space be the New York Knicks and the Detroit Pistons? And this is where there's value on both sides to this. Who's giving him the money? Like, I can say, all right, the Knicks will give him money. But does he want to go play for the Knicks? Because at that point, we're talking about opting in and taking this money for a five-year $100 million contract. If he can get this money. And that's with a losing team, a team with really no hope for the future. Or Gordon Hayward, who just had his fourth child, has a family, has maybe, I would assume, doesn't want to be moving a family of four all around the country, probably wants a little bit of stability. He's made a ton of money over the course of his career. A ton. So why not, with the Boston Celtics, say, all right, you know what? I got you. Here's what we're going to do. We'll find a deal. We'll find a number that makes sense. The Celtics can reward him. What this does, and I've laid this out before, it's not just the money that they pay him. It's the the luxury tax that they save. Because by going into this year with him opting in, the Celtics will be a tax-paying team. And if they're a tax-paying team for the next, I got to look at it, but next year or two, then they fall into the repeater tax. Now, the Celtics are over the cap this year, but they're not over the tax. And if they're not over the tax next year, then they have 3 years where they don't have to worry about being in the repeater tax. So by paying Gordon Hayward an exorbitant amount, I would say, if we say 5 years, $100 million, like I've been saying, and they start at $17.5 million, okay, in year three, they're paying him $20 million. In year five, they're paying him $23 million. But that $100 million is less than what they would pay when you count what he would get and the luxury tax, the repeater tax that they would be paying. So the Celtics, okay, on the surface, would be slightly overpaying Gordon Hayward, or maybe even really overpaying Gordon Hayward. But they'd be saving money in the grand scheme of things by not paying the added luxury tax. And on top of that, go back to the first segment that I put out there. The Celtics have $6 million to spend, not even, this year. And next year, Jason Tatum, I assume, is going to have the first year of his max extension. So I don't see any reason why he wouldn't sign a max extension with the Celtics. So you would have next year Kemba making 36, like the following, this is the 2021-22 season, the following year, Kemba making $36 million, Jaylen Brown making almost $26 million, all right? So that's what, $62 million. Jason Tatum making somewhere around, I don't know, $30 million? So that's $92 million. Marcus Smart making 14.3. So we're at what, 106, 107? The salary cap is going to be less than what it was expected. They're getting close to the salary cap. They're not going to have cap space. They're not going to have money to spend. They're not going to have the ability to spend $17 million on a player, $19 million on a player to get somebody that does what Gordon Hayward does. Shoot, pass, defend, willingly do all of those things, be a key player, be that good third or fourth option. Yeah, okay, you hope he stays healthy. You hope the bad luck ends. But who are the Celtics going to get that's better than Gordon Hayward? They're not. Nobody. Nobody. Because they won't have the money to spend. They're going to be capped out anyway. Gordon Hayward has been here 3 years. He's been here 3 years, which means they now have these bird rights, which means they can go over the cap to sign him. It doesn't matter. This is almost their only opportunity to have a player like Gordon Hayward, to sign him long-term so that you can have Kemba, Gordon, Smart, Tatum, and Brown. Even if you move Gordon Hayward to the bench, that's the type of player. You're going to spend $17, $18 million on a player of that caliber anyway, yet you do not have that money to spend. You do have it with Gordon Hayward because of his bird rights and because you can sit there and say, we can give you what you probably can't get on the open market, especially not now post-COVID, because the salary cap is dropping. The original salary cap for this year was supposed to be $116 million. It's going to stay somewhere around $109. The 2021-22 was supposed to be $125 million. That might drop to like 115. That's going to be $10 million less. That's going to be less money for those big spenders to have. There's not going to be a lot of options for Gordon Hayward. There's not going to be a lot of options for the Boston Celtics. So I think it makes sense for both sides to sit down and say, look, we're going to give you more money that you're going to get anywhere else. You're going to give us some savings because we're not going to be paying these luxury taxes that we would pay if you stayed and opted in, because they'll probably become a taxpayer for the foreseeable future after that. And they're going to get into that repeater tax. So we'll give you that fifth year. We'll guarantee you $101 million, whatever the number is, $100 million. You can take your $32 million, your $34 million, and then roll the dice, or you can guarantee $100 million. What's your choice? Family man with four kids playing for his college coach who just signed a contract extension on a team that just went to the conference finals that has its core locked up. What's your choice? You've got a winning team. You've got $100 million. After all of the money that you've earned, you're set for life. You've got your shoe deal. You're in a big market. And there aren't many other options for both sides. I think it makes sense. Opt out, resign. We'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if he opts in, but that's my pitch. I think both sides, it works. Thank you if you're a first-time listener. I hope you've enjoyed the show. You can always hit me up on Twitter at RedsArmy_John. If you want to respond, I know some people are going to respond like, I don't want Gordon Hayward. Like, all right, fine, but What's your alternative? I think I've laid out over this 40 minutes that there are no real great alternatives. Now, obviously, this is one example in a vacuum. There are trades and other things, and who knows what the information we have right now, there are no other great alternatives. So hit me up on Twitter if you want. We can have that discussion. If you haven't subscribed, please do that. If you have subscribed, a 5-star rating, a good written review would be awesome. And sharing the podcast would be the best. Tell your friends, tell people who haven't heard of this show that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.